From the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippines, Manila. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the case may be, in whatever time zone you reside in. I'm Art Bell, filling in for George Norrie with a well-deserved night off. And this is the beginning of the season of the witch. Good day, everybody. Tonight, we will do the GIS. That's the Ghost Investigators Society. And then we will follow it up in a couple of days on Halloween, on All Hallows Eve, actually, with Ghost to Ghost, the traditional Ghost to Ghost program that we've been doing for so very many years now. So it's a ghost on ghost, as it were. All the ABs are well. The current picture of Miss Asia was taken only a few days ago, so you might take a good look at that. She's growing. Oh, my God, is she growing? And talking. And she wants to grow quickly. Anyway, you might take a look at that. It's right on the front page, and you can click on more, and it'll get bigger. So all are well, including the fur-bearing members, Yeti, Abby, and Dolly. I want to take a moment and lay down, well, I hate to call them rules, but they are, for a ghost-to-ghost, Halloween night, of course. It's just us, and it's just ghost stories. There would be only one story per customer. One per customer. No, oh, Art, I've got another one for you. Pick your best one and give it your best shot. Only the scariest need apply. Give us a short version. When you are answered, we will have a screener. And sort of give the short version to the screener so we can separate the spirits from those celebrating the night, consuming spirits. And if you have a short ghost story, you'd like to float to this side of the world. I am on the other side of the world now, you know. You can email it to me, and I may choose to read it on the air or may not. If I don't, please don't be disappointed. But it's got to be short, to the point, and scary. So if you want to email a ghost story, it's Art Bell. I am Art Bell at mindspring.com. Let me do that again. ArtBell at Mindspring, MindSpring.com. And I certainly will choose to read some of them on the air. All right. We'll take a very quick break and come back and just do a couple of I've heard there's going to be an election back there. Is that right? An election? Possible changes occurring? Something like that? But all of that is for another day and another show. This show is going to concentrate on ghosts. So in a moment, with a few words I've got to say ahead of their appearance, comes the GIS. Stay right where you are. Well, all right, let's talk a little bit about ghosts, shall we? Because that's what the next couple of shows that I'm going to do, including tonight, are going to be about. I don't know, I truly don't know what ghosts are, and I don't know too many people who could say affirmatively they know what they are. I'm going to be very honest with you here. I'm sort of a religious person. I guess I'm a little agnostic, you know, in the sense that I'm not absolutely sure about anything. I'm getting to that time in my own life where I'm looking down that long, dark hall. And whether there is a bright light at the end or not, I haven't fully determined and probably won't until the time comes. However, I have experienced the presence of spirits. Do I know what they are? In other words, are they the soul of a person who has at one time lived on Earth, or could they be indeed spirits, but not of the dead? I don't know. But I do know I've experienced them. And so many others that I've talked to have experienced them. So something's there. I don't know what it is. Is it a ghost? Is it a person who was once alive? I think I lean toward yes. But I don't, to be honest with you, have any absolute answers about anything in my mind. And I think if I did, I don't know that I could do this program the way I do. In other words, if I have resolved everything, then I guess I'd be doing more of lecturing than I would wondering and exploring. And wondering and exploring is what I like to do. Anyway, Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth are members of the GIS, the Ghost Investigators Society. And this is, I think, the most interesting, what would be the right word? The most interesting avenue to go down to try and figure out what's out there. Why do I think that? Well, they go out with recorders. I think they've moved pretty much from, you know, tape recorders to the digital medium. And they go to cemeteries, they go to haunted locations, they go to, you know, all these sorts of places that I wouldn't go. And they record. And what they get is pretty scary at times. Not to them. I've talked to them about that. They're not scared of it. But they definitely get it. They get these voices. Now, they haven't written a book. They don't even take donations. They do it from their own pocket. There's absolutely nothing in what they do, and this has been over probably a decade now, that raises any red flags for me. They do this because they want to know, just as we want to know. So with that as a basis, you know, I've never found a single thing that I could be suspicious of. Not a single thing with this group. Not only do they conduct investigations, but also instruct, assist, educate anybody who thinks that they may have been experiencing ghostly phenomena. Are those, or those who are just, as I am, simply curious. In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes the EVPs that you're going to hear will help demonstrate that the consciousness, ours, does survive after the body dies. You see, I'm not sure about that part. And that these voices may help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. Well, it may do that. So I would like to welcome them to the show. Brendan Cook, Barbara Macbeth, welcome to Coast to Coast. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Gosh, it's good to hear you two again.
It's wonderful to talk to you again.
You know, I'm sure you heard my little setup there. I'm not really sure of anything, you two. I'm not sure that what we're hearing are ghosts, although I guess that's as good a name for them as any. I'm not sure they are the spirits of those who once lived here on Earth. Are you?
So after 11 years of us being on the show, you're still not sure?
No. No, I'm honestly not. I mean, for example, let's say there was a spirit out there that never had a body and wanted to screw with you guys. Well, it's possible.
Yes, it is possible.
A lot of things are possible. What I don't think is possible is that there's any hanky-panky going on. I think what you are doing is absolutely legit, straight down the line all the way. And I've never thought for one second anything different. What I don't know is absolutely what it is that we're hearing. Why do you think it's ghosts? Why do you think it's people who once were alive?
Well, that is my belief, and usually the places that we go, people have been experiencing the ghost phenomena. Although I must admit that the spirits that have never had a body, the phenomena of that is also very similar to ghost activity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to say, I mean, as far as, you know, what we're recording actually being ghosts is in spirits, you know, a person that's lived, died, maintaining the same personality that they had. It seems like there's been, actually, hold on, Barb, grab that. Hold on 1 second, the phone was dying on us.
With you guys, you never know.
Anyway, it seems like, you know, the compassion that comes with these voices, it's just such a human thing. I don't see where it's, you know, we're picking up radio transmissions or we're picking up cell phone signals, which is, you know, plenty of people have told us that. And I really, it sounds to me like these are people. They're people from the other side, I guess.
Well, all right, look, let me specify, they're not radio stations. They're not cell phones. I don't think any of that. I'm way past that. Was way past that a long time ago. You know, I know what a radio station would sound like, even if it's, recorded with distortion and recorded in a million different ways. No radio stations, no cell phones. It's not that. But, I don't think any of us can conclusively say these are the voices of the once alive.
No, and that's correct. The closest I think we can get is when we do investigations in certain areas where somebody has called and said, hey, Uncle Joe has just died. And we come in there and, you know, say we record a voice that sounds like Joe or says the name Joe. And we play it for that family member and they go, yep, that's Joe. I mean, even then, yes, you would automatically think, well, that's a ghost. But even then, can you be sure? I mean, could it be, like you said earlier, something that never had a body that's deciding to, you know, mess with us?
Yeah. These spirits are out there. We all know the spirits are out there. There's something out there. I've had my own personal experience.
Just like when there's that voice that we recorded when Brendan fell down the stairs at the mausoleum and he was down there by himself.
Right.
And that voice that he recorded on his recorder that had fallen out of his hands when he fell, when she said to him, are you okay? The concern you could hear in her voice. Now, if this would have been a spirit that was just messing around with us and possibly could have made him fall down the stairs, I think we would have recorded a laugh and not a concerned voice.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring something up with you all. It's a personal experience. When my dear wife Ramona passed away, I will give you this right off the top. I was in a state of shock. I went into some kind of horrible state of shock. However, the next day, no, the same day actually, and the next day, and the day following that, I was in the house. You know, I had relatives nearby, Jason house. And all of a sudden, I'm a person who gets warm very easily. I like air conditioning. I like to be cool. There was a spirit with me, and I got so cold, you two, that I was shaking. My teeth were chattering. You can attribute this to shock if you want, and who knows, maybe, but it was beyond all reason. I was so cold. I should have been able to see my breath in the air. I ended up finally having to do this several times. I went into the shower, turned the water on hot, and just sat down and let the shower beat on me. That's how, and still I was cold. I couldn't shake it. And this went on for about 3 days. I mean, it was horrible. It went on for 3 days. It was horrible, and it was comforting and a little scary, all of that. And I know she was there.
Yeah,
I know she was there. I guarantee you she was there. Since then, I've looked into Buddhism. The Buddhists believe that after death, the spirit is, well, kind of earthbound for a period of time, days, weeks, whatever it is. And then it moves on. Have you all looked into this?
Yes. I mean, many religions in the world acknowledge life after death. I think it is the ignorance of modern man that life after death is such a hard thing to accept.
I have not accepted it. Truly, not completely. I kind of lean in that direction, but gosh, I'm not positive. I wish I were. It would be so comforting to have this solid faith that some people have, that God is there, there's heaven, it's all coming to us eventually, but I just can't make that final leap to absolute faith. And have you
and
all made that?
That's what it is. That's what
I know, I know. Have you made
ultimately,
that leap?
Really, that's why we do this. I mean, we do this to try and prove to ourselves, you know, there is something on the other side. You know, I'd like nothing more than to record the voice of one of my lost relatives, just to say, oh, you know, everything's going to be okay. And we still haven't done anything like that. But I think that's what keeps pushing us is, you know, I mean, because I'll be completely honest, I still haven't proven to myself that there is something else on the other side.
Okay. So, well, then here, you haven't recorded the voice of one of your lost relatives, but have you ever recorded the voice of anybody that you've dealt with, you know, who said, come on over here and record, we've got something going on. Have you ever played a tape for somebody who said, oh, my God, that's Uncle Fred?
Yes. We had me and my husband, Roger, had a very good friend that committed suicide in his garage. And after his suicide, his family started experiencing ghostly phenomena in the house. And they felt like he was still there at the house. And we recorded his voice. And what he said was something that he used to clown around and say to my husband.
How did they react?
It kind of shook them up a little bit, but it also confirmed what they had been experiencing there. And they moved out of the house shortly after that. And that house has been for sale many times. In fact, I think it's up for sale again.
Yeah, it is.
Really? I guess you two are, for the most part, pretty sure that these are the voices of people who once lived then, right?
I feel pretty confident that they are.
Yeah.
You know, that seems the most likely explanation for what it is that you get. Okay, well, when we come back, we're going to start with some EVPs. I guess we ought to lay down a little bit of it. Electronic voice phenomena is simply, for those of you who really don't know yet, there have been movies about it, I would think most people know now, but people like you're listening to this evening who just go out and record, originally with standard recorders and audio tape, right?
Yep. Well, yeah, and again, that's originally we did that. Took Barbara some convincing to...
And if I could find a good recorder that plays tapes anymore, I'd still stay with those. I prefer those.
Really? Really?
Yeah, so we've moved into the digital age. We're using the handheld digital recorders, condenser mics, you know, hooked up to mixing boards. And, yeah, we've come a long way.
Well, the new digital age seems to have cleared some of the EVPs up. I mean, they're not perfect, but they're a lot better than they were during the tape days, right?
They are. In fact, you know, it'd almost be interesting to do a show just of voices that we got, you know, over a decade ago compared to what we get now.
Although I thought the ones we got on tape were pretty dang clear for that time period.
Well, they were, but they were a little hissy. You know, it added noise, obviously.
Yes,
and
they were
with
still
the digital
clear.
Age, yeah, it's cleared them up. All right, you two, hold tight. So what you're going to hear tonight is scary stuff. There's no question about it. It'll put a little bit of a chill down your spine. And maybe as the evening goes on, you'll be able to, for yourself, answer the question that we posed tonight, and that is what it is that we're hearing in these recordings. That's a big question, isn't it? We'll be right back. From Manila in the Philippines, other side of the world from the majority of you. Good, evening, morning, afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are. Sitting in my lap is Miss Asia Bell, who wants to wish everybody Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween!
And, can you count to 10 for everybody?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Wow. Okay, thank you, honey. Bye. There you go. Happy Halloween from somebody 3 years and 5 months old. We'll be right back. Well, all right. Back we are. My guests are the GIS. That would be the Ghost Investigators Society, comprised or represented by Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth. There are actually a number of members. How many members, folks?
There's five.
Five of you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to name them?
Yes. Jenny is Brendan's wife. Roger is my husband. And then there's Barry Boris.
So it's mostly in the family.
Well, yeah, pretty much, except for Barry's the odd guy out. But.
And it's interesting. I'm sure you've had a million opportunities over the years to expand, that is to say, add members. I'm sure you've had people begging to get in, and yet you keep it in this tight little group. Why?
Well, you have to be able to trust the people you're with when you're doing this. You have to believe, you know, and trust what they say. Any experiences that they have, mm-hmm. you need to be able to trust what they're saying.
And we all just get along so well. I mean,
we are like family.
Mm-hmm. And over the years, as I mentioned earlier in the show, you've never, I don't know, you haven't written a book. You don't solicit donations. You don't do anything for money. I guess that's intentional, right?
It is.
And we've had, you know, obviously from being on your show, and we have had so many opportunities to do different things like that and been offered, you know, different monetary things. And we've turned them down strictly because we look as the second money comes into play with this, you know, any credibility is pretty much taken away. And I'm not saying that, you know, the people that are out there that do make money don't have any credibility. I'm not saying that at all. But as far as how we work, we just wouldn't feel right about doing what we're doing if there's any sort of money involved in it.
Well, clearly, it does add to your credibility. It certainly does for me, so I'm sure it does for much of the audience as well. Where are we going to begin tonight? In other words, what kind of location did you go to?
Well, this first one is actually the most recent investigation that we've been on. This was the first week of October, so just a few weeks ago. And this is a location that's called Artists and Heirlooms. It is an antique store/art gallery in Ogden, Utah. And the building is well over 100 years old. It's located on the historic street here in Ogden. And
it used to be a hotel.
Did it used to be? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Now, in this clip, there's been, you're actually going to hear in a clip a little bit later, talking, Barbara says something about a man in a felt hat, and that's one of the ghosts that have been seen in this location, is this old man that wears a felt hat that just kind of walks through walls in the basement.
And he's also been seen on the main floor. He's been seen by different people, and he's always wearing this felt hat, this gray felt hat.
Well, did either one of you on the occasion of the taping see anything this time?
No.
No, I didn't see anything, but I did have this horrible, horrible smell in the basement. And that's actually where a couple of these voices were recorded, in the basement. But it was just this, it's like nothing I've ever smelled before. It was musty but sour and just almost made me nauseous. And, you know, again, me being rational, that could have been anything, but it just kind of came on me like I had hit a wall. So that's a little different.
See, I don't like that.
I didn't either.
If the spirits are happy, I guess happy is the right word, or contented, you would expect a decent smell.
I don't believe there are too many ghosts that are very happy. That's my own personal opinion.
Uh-huh. Just so we can set the record straight, these are just personal beliefs you're about to hear, but what is a ghost? In other words, is a ghost somebody who has passed away and for some sad reason, I guess sad, is stuck in this world? Is that what a ghost is? Is that the definition?
Yes, that's what I would define a ghost as, a person that's lived, has a body, has died, and for some reason they have not moved on. And people that experience a visitation, like from a loved one, and are only, you know, they only experience this dead loved one or somebody that they know one time, I don't classify that as a ghost. I think that that person is there for a reason, that they, when they experience that event, that's, I don't consider that a ghost. A ghost is somebody that is experienced sometimes over hundreds of years, that is witnessed by many people.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think the Buddhists are right. I think that for a period of time after death.
I do. I've always believed that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and get one on the air so people can understand what they're hearing or what they're about to hear through the evening.
All righty. Now, this first one, you're just going to hear me asking my standard question that I ask. It's, how old are you? Because there was a kid that was reported in this building. And you hear a young woman respond to me saying, he's so little. And, of course, with EVP, you never hear these at the time, 99% of the time. These are never heard until after. So I wish I would have heard her because it's so completely clear.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Number one.
How old are you?
You know, that's quite clear. I think everybody can hear it. What happens is you're playing the original one, and then you're playing three looped recordings that have slightly more gain. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. We play it once in the original context with, you know, if there's an investigator asking a question, then the voice. And then after that, we just loop the voice twice afterwards just for clarity.
Okay. He's so little is what we think we're hearing. He's so is very clear. Little, I'm not sure about. So let's do number one again. Here we go.
How old are you?
Okay. All right. So somebody, you were aware that there had been a young child there?
Yeah, we had actually been told that somebody who had come in had seen a young child there. I believe it was a psychic had actually talked to the young child. And I don't believe we actually recorded any children's voices in this book. Oh, no, wait, I'm wrong. We did. So maybe that is him, and maybe this woman is referring to the child. When I ask, how old are you, she's just saying, well, he's so little.
Mm-hmm. Is it your view that people on the other side can see you?
I think sometimes, yes.
I believe that they're very aware of us.
As in visually aware, Barbara?
I think that can't comprehend how a ghost experiences loved one, your live people. I think it's a whole different thing. I think the brain, the consciousness is aware.
Okay. All right. And again, there most of these voices you're going to hear are not, or they don't sound happy. They don't sound alive. Sometimes they do. There's anger. You will hear anger from ghosts. You will hear sort of the downtrodden sound, the sad sound. And I guess that's because they have not been able to move on. And they're in some sort of, I don't know, they're trapped. Is that a fair word?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that's very well put.
Could that be a kind of a purgatory?
Yes, very much. I would think it would be a real hell on earth being stuck here.
And I, you know, I've always kind of wondered that if that is, you know, really the Christian version of purgatory. Is that what we're recording? And again, that's something that just, I don't know how you'd ever be able to answer that.
But. I don't either. If you could have a dialogue with them, you might be able to get such questions answered, as in, where are you? What is it like where you are? And you get little snatches of that. I mean, I can recall voices saying, it's so cold here,
yep.
Or I'm so
yeah.
cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know, and another thing about EVP is not everyone will hear the same thing. There's some of the voices on that we're playing tonight that I hear something completely different, you know. So, but the thing is that there is a voice there that should not be.
Right. All right. Let's move on to number two. Again, recorded in this artist and heirloom's place.
Okay. You're going to hear Brendan. He's setting up his microphone and his equipment in the basement, and he tells me to keep talking so he can adjust it. He'll say, keep talking, Barb, and then you hear me say, it hardly picked me up the first time I said anything.
Right.
And then there's this voice. It sounds like it's very difficult for him to say this, but it sounds like he says, this is my room. And it's kind of a weird sounding voice.
Yeah, very throaty.
Bear in mind, folks, this used to be a hotel, so I guess somebody could sort of claim they were in their room. Okay, number two, fire away.
Just keep talking, Barb.
It hardly picked me up the first time I said anything.
Hello. Oh, gee. See, that was ghosty. That's the right word. That was kind of ghosty. That was kind of chilling, and it was quite clear. Now, whether or not, I'm a victim of suggestibility, and we all are in this case, is a good question. But I clearly heard, this is my room. But of course, you told me I was going to hear that.
Play it again and see if you can make out something different.
Okay. I know that after you come back from a place like this, you all sit down, and first of all, everybody should know, you don't just find these don't happen, you know, just like that.
No.
These take hours upon hours upon hours to collect, and then hours and hours and hours and hours to search for on the recordings when you get home, right?
Yeah. Right. And we should also mention, you know, the voices that we play on your show are the best of the best. I mean, not all EVP sounds anywhere near this loud. You know, this is, like you mentioned, you know, a bunch of different investigations after hours and hours, and here is the best of the best. The majority of them are very whispery and in the background, right. And, you know, we talk over them so you can't even hear what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to give people the impression that all EVP sounds just like this.
All right, and people should also understand, you're not hearing the responses in live time. As something we've talked about in the past, it might be possible to do so, though not an easy job. You hear them later when you sit down and review the tapes. And as you just mentioned, sometimes you're talking over them, which I guess is sad because you probably miss some good ones.
That's correct.
Yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than, we'll go, guys, can you imagine if that, you know, nobody was talking when that voice came in. But it happens more times than we'd like to admit, where we just talk over whatever it is in the background, and it just, it's frustrating.
I think we've got a good example of that later on our list.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, we're going to do number two again. This one's kind of chilling, and it is suggested that this is my room is what's being said. If you hear something else, I'd like to hear about it. So number two, one more time.
Let's keep talking, Barb.
It hardly picked me up the first time I said anything.
I don't like that. That's kind of creepy. You wouldn't imagine there would be any sense of time. I'm going to refer to it as the other side, on the other side, or in this purgatory in which they find themselves. But there wouldn't be a sense of time, would there?
I wouldn't think so.
I would not believe that there is.
I just don't see what the point of...
If you exist forever, what difference does it matter how long a time it is?
That's true, I guess, but if there really is a hell, for example, how can you know how long you're suffering unless there's a sense of past, present, and future?
An attitude adjustment, I'd say.
Yeah, I guess so. And so apparently, ghosts have a sense of ownership, as in, this is my room. Is it your view, you two, that ghosts hang where they passed?
No, I do not believe that. I believe that they're linked to a location from their life.
I think it's a place that's important to them, whether that's some place where they've passed on, or it's their childhood home they grew up in, or, you know, we've even heard places being haunted, you know, like amusement parks, where somebody enjoyed their childhood at an amusement park, and that's where they've been seen since they've passed on.
So then, as a spirit, you can move around if you want to, apparently.
Yes. I believe, in fact, in this historical location here in town, there has been a ghost of a soldier that has been seen at what used to be a Union Pacific Railroad station, and in a couple of the hotels that are just across the way, across the street from the train station.
Okay, what about this? Have you ever recorded the voice of a person who is still alive?
Not that I am aware of. But I can't. I don't know that we have.
Yeah, I don't think we have. The closest I can think of is, this was a few years back. We were doing an investigation in Salt Lake City, and one of the investigators had said the word, I can't remember what it was, water or something like that, but just prior to her saying that, there was a voice that said water that almost sounded identical to her, and it was almost like somehow the recorder picked up her thought of saying water, and then she says it.
The reason I say that is because it's obvious to me, and I think many others in the audience, that the human brain, the living human brain, is capable of many extraordinary, even paranormal things. That's the reason I asked the question.
Very true.
All right.
We have had ghosts say something that is immediately repeated by a living person that's there at the investigation, which makes me wonder if they can put thoughts into a living person's head.
Gotcha. All right. Hold tight, you two. We're at a break point already. 1 hour gone. We're playing EVPs for you. Voices from the other side.